The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Dreamers, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
footy.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Take one.
Indeed, BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. I'm James Sharman. We have Amy Walsh, Gregory Forrest, Daniel Wong, and Jeff. Don't call me JC. Cole. Here we go. It's happening.
You started yesterday like this too, but well, it's really happening today.
But today it's really happening though, right?
Yeah,
you're actually going to see World Cup matches today, Wonger.
Yes, you're right.
Today.
You're right.
This started, this whole chat conversation started in 2018. 2018 is when we were given the rights as co-host to this World Cup. A little slice of the World Cup pie. Not a big slice, a little slice. But a slice nonetheless.
Yeah.
And sometimes as a smaller slice, if it's rich and decadent, it is tastier than a big slice of generic bland pie. Okay? So I'm taking a little slice of this World Cup because it's going to be delicious. Yeah. I'm salivating already ahead of
salt.
Oh.
It's a shot, if you will.
I was thinking more sweet pie, actually, for this particular metaphor.
Although they say if you add a little salt to like hot cocoa or something like that, it brings the flavor out. So even in a sweet pie, salt is a good thing to add while you're mixing the ingredients.
Yeah, but we already had Salt Bae last World Cup. We don't need him this World Cup.
You know he's going to be around again somewhere though, isn't he?
I love that guy. He's so authentic.
Oh, he's the worst.
Didn't he win the Club World Cup?
Yeah.
No, he did win it.
Yeah.
Him and
Trump shared the honors, I think.
Yeah.
But so regardless of what pie you like, it's going to be delicious today. And the first slice is going to be South Africa against Mexico at 3 p.m. Eastern from the Azteca. Mm-hmm. And at 10 p.m. Eastern, South Korea, Chechia from Guadalajara. Now, how excited are we?
Pretty excited. I did some homework.
Oh,
because James Sharman said, bring some insight to some of these matches. So I looked up, pardon me?
As opposed to yesterday.
Well,
and the day before that. Fair.
And that's the day not before fair. That. You don't have to call me out.
Well, don't give too much away.
International radio.
We are going to talk about these games at the end of today's show. So don't give too much away. Unless
I just looked up. So everyone, I'm teasing this. Why it's so hard, and then I know Craig can lean into this, why it's so difficult to win at the Estadio Azteca in Mexico. So we'll talk about that later on. How about that for a tease?
Because we've got some proper insight from people that have been at that stadium, right?
Mm-hmm.
They know what it's like.
It's a cathedral. It deserves the World Cup final.
Yeah, but that was never going to happen, though, was it?
That was never going to happen. I mean, it's a true footballing country, Mexico. And it's the only one of the three countries that is a true footballing country. But there you go. But it's great that they have the opening. I think it's the third one they've ever had at Azteca, which is quite interesting. And I guess, 2010, the repeat of the opener for South Africa, right?
So, yes. Mm-hmm. The last time South Africa was at a World Cup.
Right.
See, we're just dropping the stats right now, aren't we?
That's right. That's right.
Wasn't it more that the World Cup was at South Africa, though?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not, they weren't at the World Cup. The World Cup was at them.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure everyone's correct. You see.
Are we excited? Are we relieved? Is it just, what's the emotion? Pride? What is it, Dubs?
It's not pride yet. I think that kicks in tomorrow. It just feels like a massive, you know, world event on a different scale, because this is a different beast, because it's 48 teams. You've got the extra knockout round. It spans three countries. It's a huge thing. So I think it's this the scale of it. And I think we've done the preamble, we've done the previews, and we've talked about it, and now it's here. So it's, I think it's excitement, anticipation still, because you've got, you know, groups A through Q to get through. So it's the excitement of this day, and then obviously tomorrow, then it'll be the swell of pride. And but I'm a little bit concerned about what I'm hearing with the Bosnian fans for Toronto Stadium.
What are you hearing, Dubs?
I'm hearing that they're going to be 30,000 strong in, what is it, 47,000 capacity now?
41.
They built up 41, excuse me. So that's a large proportion. So this readout that Jesse Marsh is talking about, it's going to be tough to do.
I'm not sure I believe that.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
You hope that I'm right? I mean, you hope it's Bosnian?
No, no, I hope Sharms is right that might not happen, but
I know.
It looks as though it's going to be, you know, the usual, to be honest with you. You look at the Tunisia game last summer, Ukraine, same sort of thing.
Cote d'Ivoire.
Well, our good friend Shireen Ahmed was on this, right, Dubs? And Shireen knows her stuff. She's a proper journalist, so she knows a lot more than me. I'm just leaning into the romantic side of a home World Cup and what it should be and where I think it will go in the end. But Shireen's done a piece where she got pretty close with the Bosnian community around North America, right?
Yeah, and it was on the National last night.
Yeah. It's St. Louis is a huge hotbed of Bosnians, and they've made the trip, that every one of them. Mm-hmm. Diaspora. That's a great name. Great word, that. Diaspora, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Apparently,
well, we're going to find out.
Sorry, Sharms, keep talking over you. 20,000 of these fans traveling from St. Louis.
Wow. So they might be scattered around the fan zones and the city and not in the stadium, possibly. Right?
You know what? I want to party with some Bosnian.
You know, I do too.
I do. I want to have a pint. I want to eat an edible. I want to show them Toronto. Bring them down to Kensington. You know, like that would be so much fun.
You know what? You give them an edible, and if they're not used to it, they're going to be just a bundle of crap.
Yeah, but they might miss the game then and not go to the stadium. If you get them early,
they'll be in the fetal position under a tree.
So, Wanda, that's your job tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
It's your job to get hold of the Bosnians early in the day. All right?
Okay.
And get them so messed up that they don't make the trip to the Toronto Stadium. And, okay, it might be empty, but at least it won't be all blue.
Well, you know, I think that's a great to put me on. I just, so you know, JC and I will be hosting a watch party at Earl's. And before that, Footy Prime is ringing the bell at the Canadian Securities Exchange. So we're going to have
About that.
Yeah, we've got a busy day tomorrow, and it's crazy, super exciting. And just one more thing. We were supposed to have Adam Vancouver in on, and he stiffed us, eh, Craig? JC? Adam? We're calling you
I wouldn't
out.
Mind us stiffing from him.
No, I think
fella.
There was confusion about the time. He thought it was 4:30, and he was.
We were still on at 4:30.
We were still on at 4:30. Actually, it was a great catch up for JC, Craig, and I. We were just, you know, Craig was filling us in on everything FIFA broadcast, which was really interesting, and he'll be able to share when his NDA runs out in 2038.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
I wanted to throw something in there, speaking of Bosnia, before we move on, but the national dish of Bosnia is called ćevapi. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it's a sausage, beef and lamb sausage. And my neighbor Chops is obsessed with it. He's just always like, yeah, my buddy eats chvapi, makes the best chvapi. But that means it's going to be flowing. There's going to be Bosnian sausages just jammed all up in Toronto for the weekend. It's great. I can't wait.
I didn't know that you live next to Calgary Hobo.
I live adjacent.
Oh, Jason. He's in the alley right behind
Kitty Corner. Kitty Corner.
It's interesting, though, JC, that you bring that up, because I think the opening match for Canada versus Bosnia, and you're saying, you know, the Bosnian sausage is a national dish, it might coincide with a lot of sausage we might see in the nude bike ride in Toronto.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We saw that before last year.
It was thrilling. It was thrilling.
Yeah,
you guys were sitting having coffee, weren't you, at breakfast?
We were, Craig and I and Jimmy and a couple of his brothers, we were going out to jump on Lake Ontario on a boat. And while we were getting ready, we were filling up our coolers. And all of a sudden, the nude bike ride came by, which was fantastic. But then we looked a little closer, and there were guys who were renting the Bixies, the rental bikes. And so literally they rented bikes and were going full nude on these bikes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I was like, oh, I feel bad for the person who rents that after. Like, because
you're jealous of the person who rents them after.
Well, you could pay for that on OnlyFans, of course, for that seat.
It was also a hot day, right? Which is...
It was a hot day. It was like a 30-degree day. So,
and then after a few hundred of them went by us, and then they kind of disappear, and then two stragglers come around the corner, and that kind of looked weird because it's like, guys, like two naked guys now looking for the parade.
And we have to be honest, the demographic seemed very male oriented. So it wasn't like the greatest for a bunch of heterosexual guys who are like, look, you know, you couldn't call it navel gazing. It was not navel gazing.
No. You did compliment them, Wong, remember? You did compliment them. You said nice willies.
Yeah, that's right. I did. I don't think I used the word willy, though, just so you know.
Yeah.
I think I used the word that rhymes with pock.
Yeah.
1978.
Like Tupac?
The jazz album. That was a
classic line.
The jazz album by Queen would have had a great song within that album that you could have played. Just look it up. Anyway, so back to the World Cup. A week of celebration, obviously. It's going to be 2 p.m. is the Mexico match. Most football fans, if able to, will be watching that. And that first match always gives goosebumps to me. Mm-hmm. You know, something about it. It's like the beginning of something incredible. And it will only last for a couple of weeks for most teams. Or for not this World Cup, actually. for 16 teams. Because 32 get through to the round of 32. That's why it's called the round of 32, actually. But yeah, a thoroughly exciting time. But there's still plenty to talk about from the Canadian angle as the news cycle continues to turn, JC.
Well, today we're going to start with our brand new segment that we were running throughout the World Cup, which is World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by our friends at Tim Hortons. It's game on with Tim's.
Game on.
I'm actually drinking some home brew Tim Hortons right now. And it's like delicious. No, yeah, real live one. You know, from the old Keurig, Tim Hortons little capsule thingies. It's delicious. But that's not important. I'm just giving Tim Hortons some extra real estate on our show.
I love.
Okay, so we know what the story's been with Canada regarding all these injuries. 3 p.m. Eastern is the deadline for Moise Bembido to make this squad, in that Canada can make a change anytime 24 hours prior to their first match. Mm-hmm. Now, the reports all week have gone back and forth from he's not in the squad. So yesterday, he's in the squad. So not in the squad. And then this morning, he's back in the squad. We won't know officially for a while. Maybe, but yeah. Well, this afternoon, we'll know, if not before. There's a press conference tonight at 6 p.m., by the way. That is the match day minus one press conference, as they call it at FIFA, where Jesse Marsh will address the media, maybe a couple of players, possibly. And we'll get some answers, I'm sure, because training this morning, there will not be availabilities, as far as we know. Now, What does it all mean? It sounds like Bobito's made the squad, right? Along with Alphonso Davies, who's obviously recovering from injury. Ali Ahmed's just got back from injury. Jacob Schaffelberg has just got back from injury. Where else am I going here? Derek Cornelius is back from injury and just not playing at Rangers. Ismaël Koné had a fever yesterday. We understand. That's why he didn't take part in training.
That's right.
World Cup fever.
Yeah.
A lot of question marks. Now, the fact that these guys are all likely to make the squad, Craig, is that a bit of a statement now on the depth of Canada? In that, yes, we've improved dramatically than even 4 years ago with depth, but the fact that these gambles have to be made suggests that, you know, the backups aren't quite there yet. The depth isn't quite where we need it to be moving forward as a football nation.
Yeah, that's no surprise. I mean, let's be real about it. I think that with these players, they're so dynamic and important to our national team and the level of play that, you know, Alphonso Davies is playing out on a weekly level when he's fit with Bayern Munich is incredible. So it's worth taking a chance. And obviously Jesse Marsh is planning long term that they're gonna go some distance. And if they do, you know, you're talking a month away, a lot of things can happen. A lot of, you know, your fitness is gonna completely change, and hopefully that'll work out to when the time's needed to put these guys in. Now, match practice, match fitness, sharpness, all those things are going to come into play, but they're so important, and I think that's why. And the depth side of things, we're not there, but all things said and done, I think from a positive angle, we're in a pretty good place. We're not in the perfect place, but we're in a pretty good place.
Yeah, we heard yesterday Thomas Tuchel talking about Bukayo Saka battling an Achilles injury for the last little while, played through it. Can't train 2 days in a row. So all teams are dealing with it to a certain degree, but they obviously have, for example, a Madueke can stand in there, right, and do a great job. There's more depth there at a very high quality. But Dubs, you look at Amoy's, I mean, he's a center half, right? You don't generally sub out your center backs in football unless they're injured. It's far more rare to see a center back being subbed out than a midfielder or a striker. Mm-hmm. So what role does he play, do you think? Do they just wait and let's say they get to the knockout rounds. Do you start him then? Because we know he's one of the most important players on this team. Mm-hmm. But do you start him having not seen him really play outside half an hour last week since October? I don't know what his role is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that it's difficult. And you saw, we've talked a lot about the rust and players trying to get their feet underneath them, even if they are healthy. Like a Derek Cornelius. And I think you've seen him come around quite quickly. But with Moyes, it was both. It was trying to get back to full fitness, hobbled still by that injury, coupled with, you know, the issues of reading the game, your timing being off, your rhythm not being there. So it's those two factors together that make it very, very difficult as a baseline for a center back, as you say, to just be dropped in. So unless you're going to start him, I think Ralph Prizo's little niggle that he picked up, I think plays into this decision. Mm. I think if Ralph Prizo is fully fit, I don't think that Moyes Bumbido makes this squad. And again, this is not fully confirmed. We'll find out tonight at Jesse Marsh's press conference. But I want to go back to your depth piece, because I think that keeping Bumbido tells me that Jesse Marsh, one, has full confidence in his players, but that two, that depth is there. If we don't have the depth, then you can't afford to keep a Moyes Bumbido as another one of these injured players that you're relying on the rest of the squad. Like we talked about a 26-player squad. This team is now working with almost a 23-player squad like it was at the previous World Cups, right? Because you're carrying Davies and hoping against hope that you can get the job done and just hang on until he's back and ready to go and contribute whatever minutes he can. A promise David who can only give you 20 to 30 minutes. Richie Larea, is he good for more than an hour? We don't know. What is the health of Alfie Jones like? It's a risk. You know, it's as you said, it's a gamble to keep Moyes Bumbido, but I think Marsh, one, is ready. He's prepared to gamble it all on his belief in his players and also the fact that these guys are going to get back to full fitness at some point during the tournament.
And hopefully Jesse Marsh, if it gets to that point in the knockout stage, that the players that are in perform so well that he's got a problem. Do I now insert them? They're not match sharp. These guys have done very well to get us to here, and we perform well. Hopefully that's a decision he has to make, and it's a difficult one.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that, like the plan for Bombita, what do you do with a center back that you need to play the style? Like ideally, in an ideal world, it's Moyes Bombita starting because of all the quality that he has, the way that he's grown as a footballer, his tactical acumen, how good he is on the ball. But it's his pace, right? It's his out and out pace, the way that he can provide the cover for the high risk style of play that this team plays. The same way that Promise David can come on with 20 minutes or 30 minutes left in a game and run at a tired back line, maybe the way that you utilize Moyes Bombita, who can't give you 90, is you put him in there for insurance against fresh-legged strikers.
Mm-hmm. I see. It's still a gamble. And I'm not saying they shouldn't select him. Of course, I'm not saying that. I just trying to find a role for an injured center half. Because like Craig said, if they get to the knockout rounds, then it's because they probably played very well defensively. Because this team's not blowing teams out 4-3, 5-4, right? 3-2. Mm-hmm. It's because they're getting narrow wins, which means Luke de Vigerol and Daryl Cornelius and Richie Larea and Alison Johnston are really getting the job done. Mm. Right? So it's so difficult. I'd be so happy tomorrow when we know officially who's in the squad, and we can stop talking about who should be there, who might be there. We can talk about what their role is, but we can start breaking down. Okay, this is the 11 against against Mexico. Jesus, not there yet. Maybe in the last 16 against Bosnia Herzegovina. That's the 11. Let's start talking about these games and how they're performing.
You said that really well too, Bosnia Herzegovina.
Don't do it, Warner.
Give it up. Just one more day, you won't have to worry about it.
I'll tell you what I'll be watching closely. Luke de Fruijerel, Alfie Jones, and Jesse Marsh. Do they know Canada's national anthem in English and French? I want to see that. If Alanis Morissette is singing, she's from Ottawa, she would have learned, I think we went to the same, I know we went to the same high school. I forget if we went to the same elementary school. But we did, yeah, I'm dropping names. Alanis, come on anytime to Footy Prime. You can talk about our high school days and the RA Center, my brother teaching you how to swim properly, just so you know.
Odd anecdote.
Yeah, well, my brother taught her swimming lessons at the RA Center, so that's all. I would think it's quite difficult to learn our national anthem in both English and French. You might go one way, especially for Alfie and Luke. Luke, I said like Lucky Luke, like a French guy. Yeah. Luke, yeah. And I'm going to be watching their lips. Oh, that sounds gross. But I'll be watching the close-ups on TV. I'll be watching the close-ups. That's what I'm doing. Because
well, I imagine, having spent time in Quebec.
I don't know, man. Oh, Montreal, right? CF Montreal. He would have done it in English and French.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. And he's a gamer. He's going to go full throttle a la Alistair Johnston for that anthem, belting it out.
Yeah, Ali, as we'll call him, because he's our mate. He'll be the one to watch, though, because he'll be blasting it. He's a great anthem singer. Mm-hmm. You know, and every team's got one, at least one, right? Italy had Gigi Buffon. You know, who was Canada's, Craig? Were you always a little bit self-conscious, Craig? We'll get you two soon, Dubs, and the anthems. Or were you a blaster? I can't remember.
No, I didn't really sing it. I was just sort of taking it all in.
Oh,
I didn't want to, sound that bad for the guys next to me. I was to be like, geez, you button it up.
Craig's a bit of a lurker. There's a chair waiting for him in the corner for things.
Who was the blaster on that team when you played, Craig? Was the one that stood out who was a good anthem singer? Maybe not, didn't sound good, but just blasted it.
Yeah, no, not really, not overly. Yeah, they wouldn't even do one with us with singing. It would just be the tune.
Wouldn't sing?
Yeah, the guys would sing for sure. Okay. Yeah.
But mumbled singing probably, right?
Yeah. Like
the okay.
It's emotional. I tell you, you're trying to keep everything in check, right? And you got this pressure of this home World Cup. You got the national anthem. We saw what Max, you know, he was in, you know, emotional for during all that. And then he has to regroup. And now, okay, now you got to do what you do for a living. And now, you know, put that all aside. But yeah, it's a lot to take in. I know that when I listen, when I hear that national anthem, I'm going to, I guess, I don't know. I might even put earplugs in because I've got to do some work and I got to get myself.
Dubs, did you have were you the loudest? Who was the loudest?
Yeah, I was pretty loud. I've got a terrible voice, but
you do.
Horrible. I was always
we'll play it later.
yeah, I was always belting it out because I was proud and I felt like it was important. But to Forrest's point about the anthem, I always used it as to, you know, like that last moment, especially if I was a starter, to just kind of keep myself in check. So it was over the course of the song. It's like belting it out. You're there with your teammates. And if I was standing there, I was, as the captain, I was, you know, next to Karina, who was louder than me and an equally crap voice, it should be said. But both of us very loud. Or I'd be next to, as number 13, I'd be next to Melissa Tancredi, another super loud voice on the team. So I was always well surrounded and felt like I had that support, but everybody was there and in full voice. But it was also an important moment to let the, not the gravitas of it, but we've talked about this before, where the anthem is a chance to take it all in and to appreciate where you are and to recognize that you have the privilege of representing your country. I'm going to get emotional.
You know, one of the different things too is the fact that when you're playing in Europe and all these things, there's no national anthems for club games. It's not like North America. You got national anthems for everything. Semi-professional lacrosse league, national anthem. So you get kind of used to that. But when you're playing football, you don't hear it. You don't hear it in MLS. So it's really special. And I think that that's what it should be. And I also agree that I don't think they should be doing national anthems for club games and professional, like just for them, honestly. But so it adds a bit of something different for football players.
I don't know if we spoke about it too much after the Ireland game, Sharms. You and I were both there at Stade Saputo. And we know that Montreal always turns up for our men's national team or our women's national team. And that anthem and the way that it kind of hit Max and I think everybody there, it was really powerful. And I think that support resonated. And I think you're really going to feel that tomorrow at Toronto Stadium, whether you're watching at home or you have the opportunity to be there in person or you're one of those players. And so you have to let that wash over you. That's the one time where you can allow the occasion to take over. And I think you have to, because you have to acknowledge it as a player, but it was also my time to just reset and just to make sure I was in the right frame of mind so that I was ready to kind of, and rearing to go immediately, you know, once then the captains met and you did the coin toss, you took your starting 11 photo, quick little gathering with the team, maybe some tactical words, but it was mostly just about your mentality, your mindset. And then, because it's going to be the crowd, that might be the last time that they hear each other properly in that match, right? And that's a pretty freaking cool thing, right? So it's an understanding as well of what you're walking into in terms of the environment, but embracing it because it's so cool.
And it's going to be a little bit different because there's going to be an opening ceremony. There's going to be all that going on, and they've upgraded the sound system at the stadium. So it is loud and it is crisp and it is powerful and it's coming through your chest. And I think these players like Richie Larea, oh, I've done this before, right? It's going to sound different. It's going to feel different because it does. There's something big's about to happen, and you get that feeling when you're there.
Yeah, I think it's important too. And we saw it in Montreal when the singer of the anthem knows the right time to stop singing and let the crowd take over. Right? That you got to hit it at the right time, and really you got to hope that there's enough red shirts to do it. right? Although the half those Bosnians will probably be Canadians too. Maybe they'll sing both anthems. Who knows? But let's hope so. And you bloody well should if you are there. Sure, choose who you want to support, but anthems, at least, you know, give some respect to where you're living. But yeah, the right time to cut off and that put your ego aside, right? And it's not about me anymore and my voice, right? And selling my, you know, my Spotify account. It's not that. It's about you now, the fans, to really elevate that energy. And maybe it'll be nothing that we've ever experienced. Might surprise you, but I do.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about Alfie Jones and whether he's singing it in French or English or whether he even knows an national anthem.
You're good, Charles.
But it brings me back to Mark Burcham.
Right.
He made his debut. He hadn't even come to Canada yet. He hadn't even visited Canada, but his granddad was born. So he kind of, that's how he was picked by Canada. So his first game is in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And he talked about belting it out. He must have been six players down the row for me. And all I could hear was Mark Burcham just singing the national anthem.
That was
just
with that band. South London brogue.
Yeah, exactly. With a London accent, Cockney accent.
Yeah.
And then he ends up scoring and he runs off and he's kissing the badge. And he hadn't even visited Canada yet. It was classic. So I would expect something like that from Alfie Jones or something.
Dubs, you're saying that you're getting emotional talking about this and thinking about this, you know, from your playing days. Tomorrow, you're going to be a mess?
I might be, yeah. Because
I think you will be. Honestly, I think you will be. You won't be able to help it. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, and it's great. It's part of, I think, I talking about the players embracing it, but as fans, if there are more people in Canada, whether they show up at that stadium or not, but who are tuned in, who are paying attention, it's those little moments that are going to allow them in, you know, into that soccer culture and into getting to know who these players are. And to your point, Sharms, about, or you, Wong, I think your question about will these newly arrived Canadians, these dual nationals that were part of Jesse Marsh's mandate to get them in this squad, why we have more of a depth of squad and a deeper squad talent-wise, this will be a really important part of being Canadian. He wants them to be the people's team. They better freaking know the anthem. And you can be sure that they do.
Yeah. I remember 4 years ago, that first match, I was at the Parlay with Albert Vatanian and Sarah Pararia doing a show. And you know, when we heard the anthem at the World Cup, and it was in Qatar, it's different to tomorrow, but it was highly emotional.
Yeah.
Been so long to see Canadian. And those two, Albert and Sarah, they weren't even alive when Canada last played a men's World Cup. So it was a very emotional show. And that was just, you know, that's Qatar. This time around, it's just, I think the game's grown since then, quite honestly. The game has grown since 4 years ago. Because of us, just got to mention that. Just because of us, with a reason. But the fact is, there's a lot more podcasts like us. But there's many more podcasts, well, actually not like us, because nothing's quite like us. But there's lots more podcasts, you know, since in the 4 years that we've seen pass. Just shows the game has grown, I think. And it's going to be highly emotional. And I haven't seen Shireen's piece.
Oh, God.
Now I'm worried.
Now you're
hearing you guys. I'm a little bit worried. I was feeling good about this because I kept meeting more and more people on my travels the last couple of weeks who said, yeah, I've got tickets. I'll be there. I thought,
Charms, but let's think about the logic of this. And yes, there's 20,000 people, could be 20,000 people coming from Kansas City, people coming over from Bosnia.
St. Louis,
sorry. What did I say?
Kansas City.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sure there's a few Bosnians there.
I thought it was Kansas City but it was St. Louis. Sorry.
You offended them all.
Yes, I do that. But I do it in such a manner that is charming. Anyways, where I was going to go with this, the logic of it is that the Canada Red and the first match, those tickets were sold before Bosnia even made it to that we even knew it was going to be Bosnia or Italy. So I would say the majority of those tickets, just to put a positive spin on this, would be Canadian. Whether or not Bosnian fans are actually buying those up on secondary markets, that's another conversation. But I would say just on the logic of it, like what was available at the time, it should be a Canadian red read out or whatever they want to call it. We're hoping. Yeah. Yeah.
Hope so.
I bet there's going to be a bunch of Italian fans there too. Put the tickets.
Thinking they'd be there.
So if you are an Italian fan and you're still going to the game, please don't wear your Italian shirt for two reasons. Number one, you know, they're not there. So you don't need to wear the shirt of a team. That should be my next video. Don't wear shirts of teams that aren't playing. It's ridiculous. Okay, number one. Secondly, Bosnia, blue. Italy, blue.
Oh.
Might not look great.
Right.
Although, I mean, I'm not sure. What shirt is Bosnia wearing tomorrow? Are they wearing the blues?
Well, they'd have to be opposite,
wearing their traditional
right?
blue. I think so, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay. Canada's wearing red, white, and black in the first round, right? They're wearing all three.
Yeah. Oh,
I think okay. I think white against Qatar, I believe, and then the black against Switzerland.
Okay, so red tomorrow.
That's right, Sherms. Yep.
Red tomorrow.
Red tomorrow.
Red
yeah.
tomorrow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're all good shirts. They are, mm-hmm. and the black's really cool. But I would just love to see Canada always wear red when possible. Wouldn't you? You guys wore the red. You. What other colors was Canada wearing back when you played? Just white.
Yep.
Yeah.
Red and white.
There was maybe a little bit of a black accent when we were Umbro, but we never had a black, like kind of a primary color kit, not as our primary kit, but like where it was majority black. It was always just like a hint of it, but just red and white kits.
We were lucky just to have kit. We could, most of the time you weren't even allowed to swap jerseys because we needed it for the next game, the next cycle.
Yep.
And by the way, after that, we're going to give them to the women.
That's crazy. It. That hand-me-downs to women. That's insane on so many levels.
It is insane. But that's the way it was. Yeah.
That's how Velcro made its business on Canada soccer kits.
Yeah.
No, think, number 13,
actually, Walsh. I have a jersey. I think I still have it because it was a goalkeeper jersey and it could be Paul Dolan or whoever, Pat Onstad. And it was literally Velcro. All right. Forrest, you're number one today. Like, and they would stick it
was
on
actually Velcro. Oh, wow.
That's insane.
Wow. Who was number 13 for the men? I'm trying to think whose shirt Dubs had to wear.
Yeah.
Prior to Atiba, who would it have been, Forrest?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't think. But
and it wasn't like a set. It wasn't really a set number for it. It would
that's
change.
True.
Right.
So, okay. But for those time supporters, listeners, get out there, look into our archives because we don't have the time right now.
Pre-Atiba.
Pre-Atiba.
Yeah.
Because I mean, back in those days, that score changed so often. Sorry, Dubs, but there's the men's team in particular. Yeah. So many different players came in and out of each squad. You're right. Mm-hmm. It's probably very different.
Yeah. But my friend and longtime women's national team player, defender, and Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame member, Randy Hermes, was number 11. And she definitely wore Jimmy Brennan cast-offs that were ranked with like cheap cologne. It was really weird.
Yeah. And if he went commando, those kits needed washing.
Yeah, hopefully not in shorts.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Midnight in Grimsby.
Oh, that's funny. Jeez. Such quality and fun. I'm feeling good about this. The World Cup's here. Going to watch a lot of football the next month or so. Hey, I've got a couple of odd, weird things to get to. JC, you wanna queue up the really big questions for today?
One, two, three, boom.
Ring, ring, what's that sound? The big question that needs answer, ring.
What was the question again?
See, there's Dub singing. She's terrible.
Not good.
Okay, so this really big question is, is there a worse stat than this new stat that's been offered by some AI company? It's called XC. Okay? Mm. This AI company have a new stat to measure head coaches' press conference performances. I love this, actually. So it's a live ranking of the tournament's clearest and most authentic communicators. Each manager's XC score and how it changes after wins and losses. The most frequently used soccer cliches across different languages. If you lose too many, I guess you lose points. You want real, original communication here. Which managers improve their communication performance as the tournament progresses? Which national team coach will win soccer's first ever press conference, Ballon d'Or? rich data and statistics that journalists, commentators, and soccer fans can use to add a fresh communication perspective to their tournament coverage and analysis. I think Jesse Marsh would do really well at XC, really well, like 1.0, because he doesn't use cliches very often. He's pretty real. We know that. He plays the media beautifully. Even when he says things like, I know he got a lot of strife earlier this week, and he goes, I won't answer any negative questions. It was after the Ireland game, Dubs. You were there, right? But and people kind of called him out on it. But if you were there and you heard the tone of him saying that, it was in jest, I think, wasn't it? It was kind of funny. He doesn't generally avoid questions. Not that he gets very many tough questions, let's be honest here, in the Canadian media landscape.
He didn't give an awful lot away because the reporting on Bombita was all over the shop.
No kidding.
Like,
it's all over the shop.
Yeah, like, well, we haven't even talked about Kone.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. That's, yeah, okay. So a fever. I mean.
Before that, can we also just.
Well, it probably isn't that bad. We shouldn't be that concerned.
Wongen, can you guys hear me? Sorry, can you hear me? Oh, sorry.
Just ignoring you.
No, it's because we were talking about AI. I just want to get everyone to understand how important AI is. It's changing the world with things like this. It's amazing. It's so, I'm just.
It is changing the world.
It is, but I mean, but this is the important things that they're bringing to the forefront is XC, communication of soccer coaches and press conferences.
I was asking AI, if a professional athlete in his early 20s has a fever, going back to the hotel and resting, will that cure him of what ails him?
The only prescription is more cowbell.
More cowbell.
Keep him away from the squad.
I got a fever.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know
that? Great.
The way things are going. Sorry, Forrest.
No, I was just imagining if we get an illness that goes through the camp. Like, I mean,
don't do that.
Yeah. I dark webbed it and threw out COVID. And I just, that's not a great
idea. Well, let's hope it is COVID because COVID's nothing these days.
Okay.
Strains have been removed so much. It's like just a little sniffle.
Right.
Get over that.
Don't listen to Charm.
Just make it's sure not 2021, people. Jesus.
No, you're right. It's gone around. There's immunity, but I'm sure there's people who haven't gotten things. So anyways, I'm just, I don't like us dispensing medical practices out here. That's all.
I don't care about COVID.
You don't want to go into the squad, even if it sniffles.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stay out. Yeah. Yeah.
Has that happened?
Until next day.
For me? Has that happened to either of you playing that the team came down with something other than no food poisoning? No. Okay.
Montezuma's, that's about it.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Same, or the flu. No,
it's not good.
And actually, we were overtrained at the Pan Am Games in 2007. That's where I tore my calf and I had like a huge, remember Stefan Eustachio had the hematoma that burst?
Yes.
So I had a massive hematoma in my calf as a result. We played at the Maracana. It's an unbelievable time, like when we were there in Rio. But we were so overtrained that I think for our final game, we ended up winning the bronze medal. I think we only had 3 healthy players on the bench out of a full squad.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Old school football.
Yeah, so it wasn't like we've had, you know, to manage the flu where you're quarantining part of the team so that doesn't spread throughout. And unfortunately, that's as bad as it ever got. But like,
Dubs, was everyone else just in the hotel room? Like you are stuck in the hotel room being sick, basically?
Yeah, yep. And you can't train and then you just do what you can in your hotel room. And then luckily that was short-lived within a large enough sort of expanse of time over the course of a number of friendlies or a tournament that we didn't really end up affected by it.
I mean, we don't know how sick he is or not, right? I'm sure he's playing tomorrow. But Kone aside, if you get sick, okay, start the match, you're probably just fine. You can get through. But the issue is, as the game goes on, your fatigue, your energy levels, right? That's a problem. If a bug goes through a team. It's like the 75-minute mark when they're all dead on their feet. But there's no evidence to suggest it's gone through the team right now. So calm down, everyone. Let's calm down.
But it's going to be hot and sticky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe thunderstorms too, right?
It's humid. Just walking back from Sportsnet.
Yeah.
It does. When I got home eventually I had to take a couple breaks because I was like soaking wet.
Dry off.
The air was thick.
Yeah.
So as an athlete, you're trying to perform, you know, at its really elite level. And obviously you've got the fitness base, the foundation is laid, but this is another thing that these players, not just the Canadian players tomorrow, but like the players today opening the World Cup at the Azteca, like you're dealing with those humid, really hot conditions and then high altitude on top of it. So in Toronto, they're not dealing with that, but the humidity and the heat and like the way that you're going to be gasping for air is a very real thing.
Yeah. I'm glad we're playing here and not in Azteca. That's a tough place to play.
Well, I mean, listen, there's no recent examples of a tournament being played in North America that the climate affects the players dramatically. Thankfully, you know, we have nothing to fall back on.
No,
except for last summer in the Club World Cup.
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Canada is somewhat fortunate in that regard. Toronto and Vancouver shouldn't be too bad. I mean, saying Toronto should be bad. They're saying, is it like 30 tomorrow? I think they're saying at the moment with thunderstorms throughout the day, which
I just saw the latest forecast and they said thunderstorms kind of early in the day, moving out now for before the kickoff. So it will be warm, it will be humid, but at least there won't be kind of NSL final thunder clapping and us ending the, like, because that could screw up a game too, where they actually have to take a weather break, right?
I was asked by some of the crew down at the stadium about, hey, is this something you get here in thunderstorms? I was like, yeah. Yeah, we do. And we had a couple games delayed. Was it the women's final was delayed?
Yeah.
And then also Tunisia?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That was like an hour and a half. And then Ralph Russo did his hamstring after that. So, yeah, you gotta expect the unexpected. You really do. Everything's not going to go as smoothly as you think it is going to go. And you got to fight through it.
You have to. Just adds to the drama and the theater of the whole occasion, doesn't it? They'll get the games in at some point, regardless. I think England yesterday played against Costa Rica, and that game was an hour late due to torrential rain and pouring. But yeah, we're almost set to talk about some actual matches here, though. Some actual football, proper football matches getting set. Shall we take a look at today's games?
Mm-hmm.
I think we should. So some footy picks, perhaps, JC?
Are you ready?
DJ Melody.
It's 40 picks on 40 Are you ready?
Oh, always good.
Just for good measure. Just making sure we're ready.
Why not? Why not? So Mexico, South Africa kicks things off later today, followed by South Korea, Czechia. Okay, so where do you want to start with these? Let's start with Mexico, South Africa, shall we?
Sure. Hold on, before we do, Sharms. Sorry, we do have, if we forgot, we do have an official World Cup song.
We do?
We do.
Oh, JC, what have you done?
Well, I played it before, but we're going to play it again. Here you go.
Everybody, join the club. It's the World Cup on 40 Prime.
Yes. Yes, JC. Okay, to those listening on Canada Talks and not our faithful audience and our regular podcast platforms, last summer, in fact, during the Club World Cup, we had a daily show. Imagine that. And we had a very catchy tune that JC made, which people loved. And by the end of the World Cup, we all hated it. No, we didn't. We loved it even more, actually. So I think that's great. We should start playing that. I like that.
Yeah, especially the yeah, the edit with it's so smart because we're reusing, we're recycling, we're all about the environment.
Yeah, exactly. We are. So play it one more time, JC.
Everybody, join the club. It's the World Cup on 40 Prime.
What makes you laugh?
That's so good.
All right, Mexico against South Africa Dubs. Mexico, obviously, in great form. I think they've won their last three. They haven't lost actually in 2026, and they've won their three warm-up games convincingly, including against Serbia, 5-1, pretty healthy as well. Edson Álvarez had been thought to be missing this World Cup entirely, but he's back in, their captain, their leader, their linchpin. So this should be a pretty straightforward win for Mexico against South Africa.
Yeah, I think so. Even though, if you know, you're looking at their body of work, you mentioned their record in 2026, it's convincing, but their last truly competitive match was July 6th when they beat the U.S. in a Gold Cup final. But I think they've, you know, a couple of years where they struggled. Canada got the better of them on a number of occasions. They look more solid. They look more cohesive. So it sounds strange, and I read this somewhere, I can't remember where, but to call a host nation, and we've thrown dark horse around a lot over the last couple of weeks, but Mexico might surprise. I think a lot of people are discounting them. So I look to them today to win quite convincingly and to kick off a successful World Cup.
I think the advantage for them is their support. And Azteca is an absolute cathedral, and it'll be pro-Mexico for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's a different level. And I think that's enough. If they can win that group, they stay in Mexico, just like if Canada win the group, stay in Canada, the U.S. thing. So that's what their goal will be. But they definitely look a little sharper than they have done in previous years. They're not the strongest Mexican team of all time, but they're capable of surprising a few because their footballing IQ is right up there.
Yeah.
Ciryl Jimenez is going back to Wolves, by all reports, from Fulham, right? Legend at Wolves, and Wolves being relegated. But as he, you know, gets towards the, I guess, the back end of his career, he's going back to the club that really put him on the map internationally. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I think we're taking Mexico for the win there. As for South Korea, Craig, South Korea against Czechia, more of an even tilt, I think, in this one. But these South Korean, they're always one of the fittest teams in the World Cup, South Korea. They have some star power, of course, we know that. Although Sun Heung-min hasn't had a great season in MLS compared to previous years. I mean, if you speak to anyone that watches LA closely, they'll tell you that he's still playing very well, just not scoring goals. He's setting people up. But fitness, I think, might tell in this game for what should be a narrow win. Is that fair to say?
I would think so. But I think one thing about South Korea, and I've played them a couple of times, is that there's never a team that's more prepared than the South Koreans. Like, they always do a really good job with their preparation and their team, and everybody knows their rules and fitness, right? They run you to death. And technically very good players. But it'll be a little bit of an unknown against Czechia, of course.
Mm-hmm. Dubs?
There's a bit more star power. I think we talked about Sonny, but there's also Lee Kang-in, right, who won the Champions League with PSG. Kim Min-jae plays for Bayern Munich. So, I mean, as Forrest said, they're much more than just their star power. It's this team and the collective and how they will be so prepared, as Forrest said, but also prepared for any scenario. But I think it will be a fairly even contest. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a draw.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be
Czechia some goals too. They score goals, and they've done very well. What do they won their last seven games, I think, or something like that? Like, they're a strong, pretty strong side.
Yeah, and Patrick Schick, I mean, he's great in the air, and that height could cause some issues for South Korea. A very direct team, Czechia. Czechia. Again, one of those we hear it so many different ways. We go in Czechia.
Czechia, I think so.
Yeah, Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, Czechia. Makes sense. But I've heard Czechia as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Czechia. Czechia is part Chechnya. Of... what?
There's Chechnya, but very different than Czechia.
Yeah. I've heard it different ways too, Sharms. But this goes back to Herzegovina versus Herzegovina.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be an education for all of us this World Cup, because there's 48 teams, and at least 16 of these teams, we don't know how to pronounce their name. So
just a little bit about Azteca too. Craig's talking and Amy's talking about the altitude. It is 2 kilometers north. It's 2,200 meters. So for our American friends and people who are working on Standard Imperial, 7,200 feet. So it's 2 kilometers straight up, higher than like a Toronto or Vancouver. that, and Craig, you've played there. Dubs, I don't know if you've played there, but that must crush your lungs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does. Okay. And this is the most important thing for teams going in there is having the ability to control the ball when you have it and keeping the ball for as long as you can. And we didn't really have that in any of the cases that I played at Azteca. So you're chasing shadows and the guys are just absolutely out on their feet by halftime.
Well, that's so what I was going to
Africa, they've got to control the ball and they'll feel it. You're in the hotel, you're laying in bed and next thing you're gasping for air. Like you feel it.
First half versus second half, Craiger. Like you'll see that difference, right?
Yeah, and also you have to take in mind that going back in the day, there's a lot of players that played in Mexico City for Club America, so they were used to the altitude. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these Mexican players, it's not the advantage that it used to be because they don't play professionally at that level, so they've got acclimatized to it as well and get somewhat used to it.
So maybe XC is the C stands for climate.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Maybe. I like the cliche, C for cliche better though. Gauging although Aguirre is pretty good with the quotes, right?
Yep.
He might do pretty well on the post-match press conference in the XC.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're a real jerk, maybe it stands for cunt.
Yeah. We might need to take that one out for Sirius XM.
JC, 54.
There's a couple today's show, actually. We're feeling looser and more comfortable, aren't we? More like ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I know when I stepped up, I saw you guys kind of go, yeah, take note of the time of that.
Yeah, everybody glanced down at the clock.
Time codes. but yeah, so and listen, South Africa, most of their players, right, I think they play in the South African Premier, right? So they're not playing at the highest level as well. So Mexico, that's why I think you look at BetMGM and their lines, there's a little World Cup parlay, which is pretty tasty today. Mexico, total goals over 1.5. So to score 2 goals against South Africa combined with South Korea over 1.5 goals, so 2 goals against Czechia. And that plays plus 396. Now, I will say, first games of the World Cup, players are tight, right? It could be cagey, these matches as well. You don't often see blowouts, I don't think, in the first day of the World Cup. Someone will correct me and say, there was like a 6-0 last year, you idiot. But I don't think, generally speaking, you see that. But anyway, here we are.
But you might see a goal in the first 10 seconds. Like South Africa did 16 years ago.
Did they?
Was it the first 10 seconds?
I think it was the first 10 seconds, yeah.
I remember it was a screamer. I remember that.
Yeah. It was right out of the gate.
Hey, listen, there's been no whining about the ball yet. Most World Cups at some point, they'll be saying, oh, the ball doesn't, you know, when you hit it, it knuckles too much it does this too much. I know. And it was asked, I remember, I think Ben Steiner asked Max about it actually in Montreal or Edmonton. I forget where it was now. And he just kind of dismissed it. Said, nah, it's fine. They've been using it for a while now. So hopefully the ball won't be a factor. Because I always find that so boring at World Cups when the ball becomes a factor. The Jambalani was a big one in South Africa, actually. And that was a genuine issue. There were, I don't think any set piece like free kick goals, I don't think, in that one. It was a right
mess. That's true. Yeah. No, they've seemed to figure it out. And there's going to be, obviously, a chip in the ball. And there's going to be information that those chips give you. So they're going to have to charge these balls up. And there's going to be statistics on, you know, rotation and all these different things. It's going to be kind of interesting.
It is. It's going to be a great World Cup. And you can catch us daily on our various podcast platforms, as well as Sirius XM and Canada Talks. You can find us wherever you want to find on social media, Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, little videos, longer videos, individually as well. You're going to find
YouTube.
Dubs.
Yep.
And the YouTube, yeah. You find Dubs and myself on Sportsnet as well. One Soccer, Jimmy's and TSN. We're everywhere. Enjoy the games today, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow to break down what happened and look ahead to Canada's first match of this World Cup.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
So good, Charms.
Average.